16 this morning, Luke chapter number 16. I ask that you'd pray with us and for us, that God would help us this morning. And I want to say once again, we're so thankful for Family Sunday. I look across the congregation, a full house this morning. I want to say thank you again, visitors, for coming. And I want to say thank you to our people for caring enough just to invite your family to come to church on this special day. And this morning, I want to preach a message. I was coming down the road, and sometimes the Lord just speaks in different ways to us. But I was coming down the road, and I had another message that was prepared. But the Lord just began to deal with my heart. And during the Sunday school hour, He just began to speak to my heart even more so. And so I want to be obedient to God to take this passage this morning. I'm not going to read the entirety of this text, but I do want to read in verse number 27, Luke chapter 16. And verse number 27, and of course this is the story about the rich man who the Bible says that he died and he went to hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, verse 23 said, being in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cries and he begins to speak to Father Abraham, begins to talk to him. And we come to verse 27, the Bible says then, talking about the rich man, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I ask you this morning in Jesus' name, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to every sinner's heart. God, draw them to a place of repentance this morning. Help them to see. I pray you would turn the light on for them and help them to see their need for salvation. I pray for every backslider that's here this morning. Maybe there's somebody here, they're saved, but they know they're not right with you. God, I pray that you would remove every excuse that they've been clinging to. God, that you would speak to them and help them to realize that they need to repent and get right with you today. That there are souls around them that must be saved. And I pray that you'd help them to see the seriousness of this hour. Encourage those that may be discouraged and strengthen the weary. Most of all, we pray that you'd be pleased with our worship and you would get glory and honor that's due to your name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to think about the rich man in our text today, because when we come to this passage of Scripture, we note this man here, and when we consider this man, we must think about his life of sin. This man, as far as we know, that the Bible says that he was a rich man. If you look at verse number 19, there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Now, as far as we know, that the Bible doesn't talk about him getting out and living a wicked, sinful life in the sense of running with harlots or living some kind of perverse life or living some kind of loose way of living in life. He may have done that, but the Bible does not say anything about that kind of his life. But what it does say is that this man was rich and that he thought more about his earthly possessions than his eternal security. And you know, there's a lot of people like that today that in and of themselves, they may not be a bad person. They may not be out doing a lot of so-called wicked things that we would classify, but their greatest sin is that they never think about eternity. They never think about their soul. They never think about the hereafter. They're always busy living in the present, living for the moment, and living an ungodly life in the sense that they live a life that does not have God within it. Amen? And so we think about the life of sin, and then we think about the loss of his soul here, because the Bible says in verse number 23 that the rich man died in verse 22, and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So this man dies, probably no doubt an unexpected death, an untimely death, was not planning on leaving this world at the moment that he left this world. But Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. Amen. There's one thing we can count on in this life is that we all got a death sentence if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime. I'm telling you, friend, we will face death, and we will face eternity, and in facing eternity we will face this God, and this man dies, and the Bible said in hell he lift up his eyes, he lost his soul. I mean, what about a man that had everything in this world that life had to offer, but he did not have God, and he did not was not prepared for eternity? I wonder this morning if there's somebody here under the sound of my voice. You may say, well, I've got everything in this life I need, and maybe you do, but do you have what you need for the next life? Do you know that you have been born again? John chapter 3 and verse number 8 said you must be born again. Acts 4 and verse 12 said neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you this morning, salvation is a must, and it's a priority for every person. If you're going to go to heaven when this life is over with, you must be born again. And sinner friend, you hear me today, this man lost his soul. No telling how many people have went to hell yesterday and how many people has went to hell this morning. I'm telling you, over 200,000 people die every single day on planet Earth, and the largest portion of them, my friend, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and they die unprepared without God. What about you this morning? Are you saved this morning? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? This man lost his soul. Do you realize our soul is the most important thing that we possess? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world, and he loses his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm telling you what God put on the inside of us, that place where God can dwell, that seat of our emotions, our soul, our spirit this morning. I'm telling you, my friend, the heart of man is the most important part of man. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. But this body's going to the ground one day. But our spirit is going to live in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And this man, he fared sumptuously with his body, but he lost his soul this morning. I ask you this question. Is your soul saved? Listen to me. Is it saved or is it lost? Serious question this morning, isn't it? Not a laughing matter this morning. Serious question. Is your soul saved or is it lost? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? A life of sin, the loss of his soul. But then our text this morning, I think about his love for his siblings. He said in verse number 28, for I have five brethren. I want to preach this morning on this subject, on is your family going to heaven? Is your family going to heaven? And friend, if you're here this morning and you're saved, that's a question that we need to think about. We need to think about our immediate family. We need to think about our extended family. And we need to ask ourselves this question this morning. Is all of our family going to heaven? Will the circle be unbroken in eternity? And if you're here this morning, you say, well, preacher, I don't really know the answer to that question because I don't go to church. And you know, some of my family goes to church, but I'm not much of a church-going person. Well, then the question is this morning, if your family is saved, what about you? Are you going to see your family in eternity? You know, it'd be a tragedy to spend your life down here with family and then die and go to hell and never see them again. That's what's happening in this text this morning. When we think about this man, he knew a lot about his family. According to these verses that we have read this morning, he knew the number of his family. He said, for I have five brethren. He didn't just think about his family as a whole, but he had time in eternity to think about them as individuals. And do you realize, my friend, this morning that God is interested in individuals? And we need to be interested in individuals. And I would say this morning, whether you're saved or you're lost, you need to think about each one of your family members, are they all going to heaven? And if they're going to heaven, are you going to heaven with them? This man knew about the number of his family. He knew about the need of the family. In verse number 28, he said, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them why, lest they also come unto this place of torment. There's one thing this rich man knew about his brothers. He knew he had five of them. He knew that all five of them needed to be saved. He knew that all five of them didn't know God, that there was a need in their life.
and that if somebody didn't do something, they were going to come to the same place that he was in right there. I'm telling you this morning, I don't want one of my family members to die without God and go to hell. I'm talking about immediate. I'm talking about extended family. I want all my family to go to heaven, don't you? I think about that old song we used to hear years ago that was sung, I want us to be together in heaven. Amen. And friend, I do want family, my family, my friends. I want them to be in heaven. But how about it, sir, this morning? Is your family saved? And if they are saved, are you saved? And if you're saved and they're not saved, are you doing everything you can to get your family in? Are they going to heaven? Are they going to hell? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? This man knew about the need, and he knew about the number of his family. Then he knew about their neglect. Look at verse number 28. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify to them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. He knew that his family was in the same shape that he was in, that they had neglected. And he says in verse number 29, or verse number 30, he said, nay, Father Abraham, he said, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You see, Father Abraham told him in verse 29, they got Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. It's the Old Testament. It was the law during that day. And Jesus was telling about this account that literally happened. And he said, they have the word of God. Abraham said to him, they don't need someone from the dead to go and to witness to them. They have the word of God. They have the way of eternal life. But this man knew. He knew their neglect. He knew they didn't care about the word of God. See, he calls him Father Abraham. No doubt he was of the same nationality. No doubt he was of the same race. No doubt he had the same religion. But that's all he had. He never obeyed the gospel. He never took the word of God for account. What I'm saying to you this morning, it takes more than religion. It takes more than your name on a church roll. It takes more than being baptized. You must be born again. You got to be saved by the grace of God. This man knew that his brethren had neglected, that they weren't listening to what the word of God was saying. Oh, sinner, this morning, you're not here by chance or circumstance, but God brought you here by divine appointment. And the question is, will you heed the warning? Will you listen to the message this morning? How about it, backslider? How long are you going to hold on to an excuse as to why you're not serving God this morning? You said, Brother Gravely, I'm saved. I'm not where I need to be at. And I'm sure you've got a thousand reasons why you're not where you need to be at. But the truth of all those reasons is this. You're not where you need to be at because you choose not to. Amen. It's nobody's fault. You've not been missed. You said, I've been missed. We've all been mistreated. And we've all mistreated people. You got to get over some things in life. Amen. The truth of the matter is there's going to be some people stand at the judgment seat of Christ that are saved. They're going to be ashamed and they're going to be embarrassed because of the flimsy little excuses that they used as to why they didn't live for God and why they just sat around and sulked and sawed over things that one day they're going to be embarrassed at the judgment seat when they see the face of Jesus Christ and they see the brow that was pierced and the hands that was pierced for him. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things, especially down here in the South, and I know well where I'm at, and I'm from here, so I can go ahead and say it. There's a lot of little things that people hold on to and their little feelings, and they act like they're hurt about this and hurt about that. I'm just here to tell you, friend, you need to grow up and get over it, because we're headed to a judgment seat, and you got people in your family dying and going to hell, and you can hold that crutch as long as you want to, but the truth of the text is this, and I love you enough this morning to tell you the truth. You're going to stand there one of these days, and their blood's going to drip from your fingertips because you didn't give them the gospel, or you didn't live for God. You talked about it, but you held on to something that sent them straight to hell. Amen. How about it this morning? Backslider, you say, what are you doing, Brother Grant? I'm trying to shake you up any way I can. I ain't trying to make you mad, but if you get mad, hey, maybe you'll go home and think about what I said. This morning, I know people that their children's going to hell because they wouldn't live for God. And I think the hardest thing to ever be would be to know that you're saved, but know your family's unsaved because you wouldn't live for God. I'm asking the question this morning. The title of the sermon is, your family going to heaven? Is your children going to heaven?
Is your grandchildren going to heaven? Is your spouse going to heaven? Is your cousins going to heaven? What about your aunts, our uncles? Are they going to heaven? Is our family members? I think about my family this morning, and a great part of them's unsaved, and I pray for their salvation. I'm not telling you I've done everything that I can do. I need to do more, and I want to do more, but I don't want to stand one day before God and watch them be cast into the lake of fire and know that they went to hell because I didn't do anything and everything that I could to get them to the foot of the cross. They have to make a choice, and sinner, you got to make that choice this morning. You can't blame the church, and you can't blame the preacher, and you can't blame some sorry Christian that you know as to why you're not saved this morning. I'm telling you, God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and he wants to save you, and you've heard the gospel this morning, and friend, there's a need, and that need is you need to be saved, and don't neglect what you hear this morning. He knew their number, he knew their need, he knew their neglect, and he knew their nature. He knew that these men needed to see to believe. But can I tell you something? That's not faith this morning. Faith does not come by seeing. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That is why in verse number 31, Abraham says to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You know, this morning our faith has to be anchored in one thing. And it's in this book this morning. It's in the Word of God. I believe this Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. This Bible this morning will save anyone that'll put their faith and their trust in what Jesus said. These words this morning that I hold in my hand and that is in your lap this morning, this is not something out of a comic book. It's not something out of a Reader's Digest. It's not something that we conjured up. Hey, this isn't something like a National Geographic this morning. I'm telling you, this right here is the very Word of God. It is God's inspired Word that He has given to us in this hour. And sinner, you hear me this morning. If you'll put your faith in what the Word of God says, the Word of God will save your soul this morning. But if you reject the Word of God, and if you go home and say, not today, not right now, I'm not coming forward this morning, I'm not getting saved today, if you reject the Word of God, then you're not promised another opportunity to ever be saved. The prayer of this man, look at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee. Perhaps this is the first time this man ever prayed. I don't know that to be true. But we don't read anywhere in the text where he ever prayed. And if he did, perhaps he did. I could say this much safely this morning. This is the first sincere prayer that he ever prayed. What about a lost man in hell praying for his five brethren not to come there? What about a man this morning in hell that has a greater burden for the souls of men than many that sit in our churches this morning at ease in Zion? I think about what moved this man was the place of his prayer. The very flames of hell was engulfing his body. I think he prayed this morning from the lowest point. The Bible said that in hell he lift up his eyes. And then we think about the pain of his prayer. This is not some little simple prayer, though I may read it casually this morning and I may read it comfortably to our hearing and to our ears this morning. That's not the way this man prayed. He didn't pray in a normal fashion or a normal casual conversation is what you may be hearing this morning, but I think it was more of an ear-piercing prayer. It was more of a cry of agony. It was from the deep recesses of his soul as his body was being inflicted in pain in eternity. This man cried out with every fiber of his being. He screamed to the very top of his lungs with every bit of strength that he had, for I have five brethren. I pray thee this morning. The pain. I ask myself when I read this text this morning, do I weep and pray over sinners? Do I agonize? Sometimes we need to do more than just call their name. We need to agonize over their soul. Sometimes we need to go off in a room and shut the door and alone, we need to weep before God for their souls. The pain of this prayer, this man agonized this morning. You may have a child that is not saved, that may not have reached the age of accountability yet. And so agonize. Call their name daily. Pray for them daily. But take moments and weep over their soul. Those tears will never fall from your cheeks. That what God will not bottle them up and retain them. He keeps those tears. I ask us this morning as a church. I ask myself. I ask you this morning. As Christian this morning. Backslider, when is the last time that we wept over sinners that were dying and going to hell without God? Hudson Taylor was saved at 17. And at 17, when Taylor got saved, his mother, who was on her knees the very moment that Taylor got saved. She said to God, she said, "I'm not getting up until Hudson gets in." And this morning, God help us today. You know, the devil's, he'll hinder any service, won't he? And he'll use anybody that'll let him do it. I say this morning that the pain, the agony this morning, the sobering. I want to move on, but I just feel this morning in my soul, I just feel such a burden today, to be honest with you, that we don't do it, that I don't do enough to weep over people dying without God. And we live such busy lives, don't we? We have to make the time to shed tears for people. God, help us this morning. Help me this morning. I'm preaching to you, but I'm going to tell you this morning, I feel an overwhelming burden. I have been for weeks. And I don't mean that like I'm where I need to be at. I'm telling you, I mean that because I'm not where I need to be at. God, help us this morning. Who in your family needs? It's not going to heaven. And I feel this, Brother Laddie, I feel this burden that, and this is going to be as honest as I know how to be. I feel this burden that there's people sitting here this morning, and if I'm wrong, I'll be so happy to be wrong in what I'm about to say. There's no ego in what I'm going to tell you this morning. I will be thrilled to death if what I'm about to say is the furthest thing from the truth than how I really feel my soul. I feel like in this great church, this good church with these such wonderful people here this morning, I feel like that there are people sitting here this morning that you're backslid on God, and there's not a thing I'm ever going to say to you to ever wake you up anymore. And if I could go to your pew and beg you this morning, I would do that. And I don't feel like there's anything I'm ever going to say to you to ever wake you up. If you don't wake up this morning, you probably will never wake up under my ministry ever again. You have slept so long. You've leaned on your excuses so long. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's some people that we all know that they will not go to heaven if we don't win them. And some of those people are in our immediate circle. And you could get mad at me this morning. You could blow me off. You could even get so mad and leave. And so I'll tell you one thing. I'll never go listen to him again. You could do every bit of that. And I'm going to tell you something. It probably won't affect mine and your world a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. But it sure will affect. It will affect your world. But it will greatly affect the world of those that you know that are unsaved. And I tell you this morning, I really wish, I've been praying this. Holy Spirit of God, move this morning. Move on the hearts of people. A I said this morning, I said, God, ain't a sermon I'll ever preach that'll move anybody. It'll take your power this morning. There are two kinds of people sitting here this morning that the Holy Ghost will have to get your attention. It'll be those that are that have been backslid for a very long time, and then it'll be those this morning who you're lost. God will have to show you you're lost. I could beat that drum every Sunday, but I tell you what it would do, Brother Laddie, it would bring confusion to others that may struggle. But I tell you what we ought to do, we can pray this morning. And I pray this morning that if you're lost, I pray the Holy Spirit of God right now would pull the scales off your eyes and let you see that you need to be born again. The pain of His prayer, the passion of His prayer, the place of His prayer, the people of His prayer. It was for His brethren. Do we pray for our loved ones that are unsaved? I want to say if you're here this morning, you're unsaved, somebody did pray for you. And here's the problem of His prayer. You know what the problem of His prayer was? Number one, it was too late. You can't wait till you go to hell to start praying. You can't wait till you get to hell to start repenting. In fact, the shocking thing is that nobody ever went to hell, ever repented over anything. They never repent. This man never repents for nothing. He prays for water and a witness, but he never did repent over his sin. If you don't repent in this life, you won't repent in the next life. Problem with his prayer, it was too late. The other problem with his prayer was that it was to the wrong person. Still praying and a religious form. He's talking to Father Abraham. One word made the difference in that man's life. When Abraham spoke to him, he said, "Son, remember." The problem is, he was a son of Abraham, but he was never a son of God. I ask you this morning, have you been saved? Is your family going to heaven? Is my family going to heaven? Go through the list this morning. Are they saved? Is there one that we're concerned about? Is there one this morning? And is that one you today? I wonder, is Miss Sheila, Miss Cheryl, and they come and get us a song ready. I wonder this morning, I want to ask you to stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give a proposition to two people this morning. If you're lost, take somebody by the hand and say, "I need to be saved." Take a family member, take somebody near you, or come down here and say, "I need to be saved." And if you're backslid, then why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come this morning?